So, you want to become a doctor? Let us take you on this journey to help you achieve this goal. We'll make sure to keep a running tab of your expenses and time spent. First, a 4-year undergraduate degree is required. And don't forget those prerequisites. Next, take the medical college admission test. No biggie, it's just an 8-hour test summing up everything you've studied. Next comes medical school applications. Don't worry, if you aren't accepted, you can apply to post-baccalaureate or master's programs to help. Now 4 years of medical school await, and you have 2 very important exams to look forward to, Step 1 and Step 2. Step 1 is taken after year 2 and determines what type of doctor you can be, so good luck! Now you are in year 4. You must apply and interview for a residency position to train in a particular specialty. Once you've interviewed at hospitals, you rank them, they rank you, and in March, an algorithm makes a match. Now in 3 months, you move your entire life to whatever city you matched in on your own dime. Congratulations, you're officially a physician. You're finally getting paid an average of $71,000 per year for anywhere from 3 to 8 years in residency and fellowship before becoming an attending doctor.
Welcome to the Flowers for Algernon podcast. This episode tells the stories of 3 minority physicians and their experiences with burnout and loss. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Flowers for Algernon podcast, where we not only give healthcare and STEM professionals their flowers, but we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly in medicine. So let's get to it. Who do we have with us today?
My name is Dr. Abil Al-Shaw. Otherwise, people know me as Oso Michael. Just depends on where you know me from. But yeah,
that's how it
is. Thanks for having me, man.
Of course, I appreciate it, man. I feel like we have a lot of conversations.
Yeah.
Kind of about our training, kind of about, you know, work. I hate talking about work, but, you know, be like that.
Yeah.
And one of the topics that have come up often is burnout, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think both of us were in super rigorous residency programs.
Tell me about it.
And we talked often about how rigorous those programs were. Yeah. And whenever these conversations come up, there's a word that floats around, and that word is malignant.
Yeah.
Malignant.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me about your residency experience and whether you think, you know, your experience has some malignant moments.
Yeah, so I'm Stephanie. It's really weird when people call me doctor because I'm really just Stephanie. I was born in Houston, not too far downtown Houston, at St. Joseph's. And then my family, we moved to Missouri City, Texas. So that's kind of a suburb of Houston when I was 6 years old. So I grew up in Missouri City, Mo City. And I'm the oldest of 5, come from a Nigerian home. I'm very proud of my culture and who I am. I consider myself Nigerian American just as much as I am Nigerian. I still very much love the things that we do in this country and who I am as a person here. And so family's big for me, God's big for me. And being a doctor and helping people is really important, so.
Yeah, so being a doctor, tell me what type of doctor you are, where you are right now.
So I'm an anesthesia resident. I am in my 3rd year of residency. And the journey has been a long one, a very long journey.
Elaborate.
So I think for most people who end up wanting to go into medicine, that's a decision you make very young. I decided on medicine, I think my dad told me when I was like 4. I was like, I wanna be a doctor. I wanna be like my pediatrician. And I'd been working on that journey for a long time. So the path to there was very clear for the most part. There was a hiccup in college where I was like, I don't know what I want to do, still considering other things. And then eventually I made my way back to medicine, finished my prereqs in college, graduated, gone to Texas Tech and did that. And for the most part, that was pretty straightforward. Applied, gone to anesthesia residency, and this journey has been, I would say, the hardest part of the medicine journey.
A lot of TV shows, The Good Doctor, Grey's Anatomy, The Resident, they dramatize, and I think they often romanticize the process, the journey here.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about your experience.
I think for me, residency is, man, it's really all consuming. Nobody really talks about the mental toll it will take on you. I think people know becoming a doctor is an arduous process, but nobody knows the day-to-day that you're dealing with. You show up and you want to do the best for your patients, at least for me. I show up and I want to do the best for my patients. But I think there's so much required of you. There's so much that they're constantly asking you to give of yourself. And you're like, I have no more to give, you know? For me, I'm very hard on myself. I'm a perfectionist. And when I show up, I want to do something well. So when I'm showing up for my patients, I want to be fully there. I want to know their disease processes. I want to know any little thing, any little hiccup that can go wrong in surgery so that I can be there to make sure that I'm taking care of them in the best avenue. And when it's still not enough, when you still make a mistake, you're just like, you put that on yourself. I think I'm lucky enough in the sense is anesthesia, I don't necessarily have to take my patients home like some other specialties do. So once I'm done, I'm done. But there's instances where I'll stop and be like, that wasn't good. Like someone could have died, you know, I wasn't always there, you know, and I have to stop and go, wait, I'm a resident. I don't know everything. Where was my attending? Why didn't he show up when I texted him? Why didn't he take this seriously when I called him the night before and told him I really think we should do this? And now I'm here and someone almost died and now it's all on me, you know? So moments like that really make me go, did I pick the right field? Am I sure I'm doing the right thing? Oh my God, I don't know if I can handle all of this. I'm just one person. This feels like a lot, like, yeah.
So like, one of the buzzwords right now, I think surrounding medical training is burnout, right? Yeah. And I don't want to gloss over how you were feeling when you said you walked in today. So do you have any experiences with burnout or?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think the first time I experienced burnout, I was in college and I remember I had a lot of hours. I was pre-med, I was working to get into medical school, taking all these hours. I was an RA, I was working 3 jobs. And I remember at some point I was like, I can't do this anymore. And then I got over it. Eventually I got into medical school and things started to get easier. But residency burnout is different because for me at least, it's been very insidious, you know, very, very, it just creeps up on you. You're doing the same thing over and over every single day. We get up as anesthesia residents. You have to be in the OR by 7:15. So it doesn't matter when you get up, you just need to be ready to go. So most of us are waking up by 5 to get into the hospital and get ready to set up our rooms for our patients. And you do that every single day. On top of the personal things that you're dealing with, on top of the expectations attendings have for you, on top of the expectations you didn't know other people had for you because you're now a physician, and you slowly just start to realize this is getting too much. For me, at the end of my CA 1 year, we have a board exam that we have to take that you have to pass before you move on. And I knew I wasn't really, I was handling it okay, but at that point, I remember there was a part, I remember coming home after a really long day, sitting in my bed crying, and I told myself, I said, I either have to make it through, I have to shut my emotions down. I have to pick one. I can't do emotions and do medicine right now. So if I decide to go full-fledged and figure out what's going on with me mentally, then I'm gonna have to take a break from residency. So I decided to shut down. I went numb and I focused. I passed my board exam. I got through, you know, that hard part. So now I'm in my third year and I'm still struggling with the burnout, if I'm being honest. And it's coming up in other ways. It's coming up in other ways. So I'm trying to, I'm trying to work through it. I don't think I've ever really... I'm still trying to... I went numb and it's coming up again. So I'm trying to work through all of that while still being a senior resident now because there's more responsibilities. And at moments I find myself either being really numb where I'm like, man, I just went through this whole day and I don't even know what I really did. I mean, I obviously know what I'm doing because at this point anesthesia is like, it's like riding a bike for me. I know how to intubate, I know how to get an IV. I don't really have to think about those things. But then there's moments where it all floods in and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so anxious. I'm so sad. I can't, oh, thank you. I can't do this anymore. And if I'm being honest, last night and today was one of those days. So, I'm burnt out, not burning out, I'm burnt. But I'm gonna finish. I'm gonna get through it. I'm gonna graduate in June 2024. But it's been rough, I'm not gonna lie. So
I think I can echo like everybody's sentiments or feelings about this when we're faced with our own kind of burnout or faced with a friend who's coming talking to us about these things. And I just want to say, like, you're enough. We're here for you. This is a lot. Yeah. And if at any point, you don't want
to. No, I'm good. I think this is helping me, to be honest, to talk about it. Because I woke up and I was talking to my parents. And they're like, you shouldn't stay in bed. And I was like, no, I have this podcast that I said I'm going to come do. And I'm really excited about doing it and it's gonna be helpful. So it's good to talk about it. I don't think enough of us talk about it. We don't talk about it. Like, I'll be at work and I'll be like, okay, maybe somebody really wants to talk about this today. But then we don't really get there, because everyone is just trying to put their best foot forward at work. Everyone's just trying to come in. There's a sense of competition in a sense too. Like, we're in the midst of electing chiefs for next year, coming from my class. So people are still on like, I want to be chief. And no one's really talking about like how much of a toll all of this takes on you. I've always been a person who's been very in tune with my emotions. My sister says like, you're very sensitive and empathic. Like, you just feel a lot. And I've known that about myself. But since I've started residency, it's been different. People need to know how much it can take from you if you let it. And I've been fighting that. I'm like, you can't take this from me too, I want to help people. That's why I went into it. It's not for the money. It's not for the fame or the glory. I think that's why I liked anesthesia. Like, it's behind the scenes. Like, the surgeon is really the, he's the guy on the stage. We're just here. We're the lights and the camera. Making sure that the patient's asleep and gets through it safely. I love that aspect of it, but it can eat at every part of your life. I've missed birthdays, I've missed graduations, I've missed family things. I've failed to show up for myself at moments because of this, and finding that balance is so important. I'm realizing it's the only way you can really like have longevity in this field. A lot of people I've talked to my friend about it. We've been on a rotation for 2 months together. We'll get, would you do medicine again? And both of us will get really apprehensive because we don't want to say no. But I always tell her, I don't think the institution of medicine is built the way it is. I think we have to fight and make sure that we don't give it everything in a sense. Like, we help our patients, but we know it's not. I can't go back and fix all the years of your life. All I can do is show up for you in this moment. And a lot of us take a lot of it on. Like, man, if I could do this, this, that, you know, or if I can show up and okay, I'm gonna show up at 4:30 and do all of this and do all of that so I can be, we just take so much on. I think that's part of the burnout, at least for me.
Yeah, profession, I think, oftentimes takes our altruism for granted.
Right.
Takes advantage of that altruism. And it's something that I'm actively searching for answers for, right? I think that we, as a profession, just need to be better. With all your experiences, with things that you talked about now, if you could go back and speak to yourself, whether that be an intern year or in medical school, or speak to somebody who's about to go through the same journey, like what kind of advice would you give them?
Advice I would give myself or someone who wants to enter this field, be patient with yourself. Don't put everything on yourself. Like, it's not all on you. It's a whole system. And it's built in the way it is. Although it's not perfect, it's the best one we got right now. So it's not all on you. For me, it's learning to be patient. Just have patience with yourself. Have grace with yourself. You don't have to know everything. You don't always have to be the one to show up. You know, you don't always have to be the one, the best team player in the sense of carrying everything. And really take care of your mental health. I think that gets neglected. I think mental health is a big buzzword right now, right? Like therapy and all of these things. But in medicine as a provider, it's still a taboo to say that you're struggling mentally. Your patients can struggle, everyone else can struggle, but when your doctor's struggling, it's like, dang, if my doctor's struggling, then who can I really go to?
It's like going to a dentist that has bad teeth.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how people look at it, at least.
And so for a lot of us, it's like, how could we really be struggling? Like, we're the ones, we're the doctors. And I think it's, people need to know that it's okay that you don't have it all together, that you're struggling mentally, that there's help out there. And for residents to know that a lot of us think that there are going to be repercussions if you come out and say you're struggling, that you're going to be punished for it. Because we've also seen it, which is wild, that you've seen people who were like, I'm struggling with something. And then all of a sudden, like, they're on less rotations, then they're just kind of phased out, and you're like, where did this person go? Okay, I'm gonna be quiet. I'm not gonna say anything. But I also think that's really scary when you don't. So speak up about what you're struggling with to whoever you can trust.
So tell me about your residency experience and whether you think, you know, your experience has some malignant moments.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just a little background on me. I came from Atlanta and went to Morehouse School of Medicine. And then, you know, when I was looking for a residency program, I wanted somewhere that I wouldn't be tested, somewhere that I would be challenged, somewhere that I would be in kind of unknown territory. And so that brought me to Houston. And I chose a program that was built on high volumes, a lot of trauma, things that I would not see anywhere else in the world. And that's why I chose it. And so going there, you know, I definitely was kind of in more than I could ask for, you know? And I quickly realized this was gonna be a rigorous 3 years. And so, you know, as an intern coming from a small med school, I quickly realized that a lot of my peers were, had a lot of kind of tools and knowledge that I didn't have, like ultrasound knowledge that I had never touched the ultrasound machine, you know, and then realizing there's a gap that I had to kind of fill in short order at that. So intern year, I was drowning every day on shift, you know. Yeah. It got to the point that I would feel anxious about going to work because I didn't want to be faced with this problem or a patient that had this disorder because I didn't know enough about it. And, you know, going to a program that's, you know, they're built on being the busiest trauma center in the United States, you know, you don't have that much learning curve to figure things out. You're literally learning on the job. And my first year, I struggled a lot, you know. You know, there was times when I contemplated just calling out because I didn't like a mental health thing. You know, it got to a point that, you know, midway through my first year, you know, I sat down with, I got called in to kind of sit down with my APDs and my program director, and they kind of sat me down and told me like, hey, you're not on par with your colleagues. You know, you're not on par with your peers. You know, where you are supposed to be as a soon to be second year resident, you know, I was still kind of like acting like a first month intern, you know? And so I was challenged and I had to kind of accept my flaws and accept my shortcomings. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I guess didn't know how to navigate and talk to people to get help or to say that, hey, I'm not understanding this. So I had to kind of overcome that pride for myself to get to a place where I was competent and I was on par with my peers. And, you know, I thank God that I was able to kind of make it through that that intern year and know how to cope when I am feeling like I'm drowning. And so, so a malignant program is something I consider, because every residency program is going to be tough.
Okay.
But I feel like the malignancy comes in when you don't have the support.
That's it, yeah.
When you don't have faculty who will help you and help navigate those waters for you. And thankfully, I feel like our program took a turn in which we did have faculty who would help us and would help us to overcome, you know, tough times.
So yeah, I think me and you had a very similar experience when it came to being at a small medical school. Because what that meant for us is that we weren't going to get a lot of the experiences. We didn't have a lot of the resources that people had at the larger schools. We didn't get exposed to a lot of the subspecialties, things like that. So it's funny, there's this like imposter syndrome that happens.
For sure.
Coming into residency.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of like the foundation of then burnout, right? Yeah. That's the foundation of them feeling so inadequate that burnout kind of sets in even quicker.
Right.
So talk to me about like burnout that you might have experienced in residency. How are you?
Well, my name is Natalia. I'm from Caguas, Puerto Rico originally. I can start talking a little bit about, I'm a pediatrician now, but to get to where I am, I lived in Puerto Rico all my life until I came for residency here. So becoming a doctor was actually not like, it was kind of like, I thought, okay, I'm good with talking. I like to talk to people. I like science. And so it wasn't until like high school that we were trying to think like, okay, what I want to do when I graduate. I really liked my science classes. I'm like, okay, maybe I can become a doctor. My family, there's no like immediate physicians. They're more into like law, lawyers and stuff. So I thought about that at some point, but I really liked science. So that's what got me into like, okay, I can be a doctor. And I like kids. So I would always like tutor them or... I practiced Taekwondo for a bit, so I would teach them. So, okay, I knew I could work with them, so it just kind of like aligned.
Okay, so pediatrics, all right. So, I mean, we both were in the same residency program. It was a great experience, but there were definitely some rough times. So talk to me a little bit about your journey through pediatric residency.
Yeah, so I guess it's hard to explain it to, like, your parents or like to others that are not in medicine, like what is residency? What is that? Like, oh, so you're not a doctor. I'm like, yes, I'm a doctor, right? You graduate from med school and you go into your subspecialty, which in our case was pediatrics. And so most programs, depending how long they are, ours was a 3-year program and you rotate right through different areas. Being a resident means, right, that you show up, you're gonna take care of patients, but you're also, right, learning about different diseases, learning how to talk to patients, learning how to take care for them. And I guess even though I feel like natural in talking to people and helping them feel comfortable, being a doctor and reminding myself that I still, you know, I have to be mindful of a lot of things when we're taking care of people, right? Like, of course, why they're here for, how do I take care of them? But also you have to be mindful, like, okay, you know, did you eat? Did you prepare for the day? Like, are you taking care of yourself to be able to take care of your patients? And that's something that I've been still learning, even after residency, to take care of others, but also take care of myself.
Yeah, I mean, taking care of yourself, it's like the topic of conversation. So burnout, right? Like, do you have any experiences with burnout? Did you feel like you experienced burnout in residency or at any point during training?
Oh, for sure. I'm very open. Of course, when you told me, like, hey, let's talk about them, it's like, I'm down, because I think people talk about burnout and they're like, oh, you know, make sure you never experience it or work against it. And like, I think it's fine to actively try and work against burnout, but the reality is, in professions that you are right service or give a lot of yourself, you are going to experience it. So it's not a matter of never, of what it is, it's a matter of when you're gonna experience it.
Burnout for me happened intern year. I was on my hospital medicine month and I had a nurse that was blowing up my phone, texting me, you need to see this patient, you need to see this patient. I remember thinking I have a million patients to see. We were in the middle of rounds. I ended up finally seeing the patient and the patient ended up going to the ICU. And I just remember feeling overwhelmed. The nurse wrote this really passive aggressive note on Epic about what I did and didn't do. I didn't know where my attending was and all of this, but I didn't really feel supported. And we still had to keep rounding afterwards. So just kind of going through rounds and then finding somewhere to cry afterwards and just feeling like I'm an incompetent doctor. I didn't give the family what they needed. I didn't know what I was doing after months of already being a resident. One of the attendings even walked by and was like, oh, are you good? Well, I'm crying in the corner. And I was like, I'm not good now, but I will be. And at that moment, I knew like everything was happening all at once. And I just felt just so overwhelmed and burnt out.
So I remember I had a very difficult patient encounter my intern year. It was inpatient. I had a mom who felt like she was not getting the best medical care for her daughter. She was very angry and upset and decided to take that out on me since I was her primary provider at the time. I remember being stuck in that room for hours, being yelled at and berated. And then when I left, we were still in the middle of rounds and I just burst out crying. I've never felt so defeated. I never felt so unseen. And I remember just having to take the rest of that day off and talking to my friends about it and just letting them know that, I don't know, I didn't feel like this is what residency should be like. And I just couldn't do anything else for the rest of the day. It was horrible.
So it was my second year, I remember. We go through a lot of heart rotations. And I was in my pediatric intensive care unit rotation, actually. And we were seeing a lot of, right, bad situations, a lot of death. Right, as a resident, right, you're still, even though you're having those experiences, you have to show up to work the next day and you have to, you know, still take care of your other patients. So I remember one day, like, I was in my bed, you know, processing something that had occurred the night before. And it was really sad what had occurred. And I didn't feel anything. Like, I didn't cry. I was kind of like numb and not feeling the emotions, which is very odd for me because I'm very happy, in tune. Like, I feel a lot of things, but, you know, not being able to empathize with what was happening really scared me. So that's how I knew. I'm like, okay, something's wrong, Natalia. So, and even though, right, that was, I got through it, start going to therapy, and that really helped. And, you know, you recover from it. Now, even graduating as an attending, I'm a general pediatrician in the private clinic, I still experience it from time to time, that feeling of tired, mostly like feeling tired, feeling you're not doing enough, feeling that no matter how much hard work, you're still not where you want to be. And we have to kind of like take a step back to be like, it's okay, like, knowing that you're burnt out and that you need to rest, and how am I going to move forward to still do what I do?
In residency, we talked a lot about burnout and how kind of the system contributes to it. And knowingly or unknowingly, the system definitely contributes to burnout, whether that be the rotations that we're on, or whether it be the things that they think are helping us combat burnout, like constantly telling us that we need to be resilient, constantly, instead of giving me a space to be well, you're making me come to a session about wellness. And talk to me a little bit about how, like, maybe negative feedback or a lot of the milestones that we were supposed to meet or tests that we were supposed to take may have affected burnout for you.
Ooh. Okay. I guess I'll take the feedback part a little bit, because, right, in medicine as a career, right, you're the idea of it is like high achieving people, good grades in college, good grades in high school, getting into med school, right? So we're not used to failing, or right, it's not a word in our vocabulary that we like to use a lot, even though there are failures in this career and in any career in life. So we would talk, right, during residency about whenever, I don't know, we took care of a patient and, right, we did a certain rotation, and they usually leave it, right, feedback at the end. And I feel right now attendings they have an idea of their feedback, but I think it should be tailored to who you are as a person, not as these are the things that you should be doing.
I think one of the best parts of my job is getting to interact with Black patients and families. And I remember having this one family that I was really connected to, and I loved seeing and loved rounding on them. And my attending's feedback was that I was too nice, too comfortable with this family, and that I shouldn't be so personable with them. And it made it feel like I couldn't enjoy the experiences that I was having and the reasons that I do want to go to work, because it was being seen as unprofessional, which I disagreed with.
Not too long ago, I was working and an attending came up to me, and we have our badges and you can put pins in your badges. And I have cute little Black Lives Matter pin on my badge. And one of the attendings come up to me and says, hey, like, you should put that away. And I was really confused as to what she was pointing at. And I realized it was my Black Lives Matter pin. I've had it for years. And so I asked her, what are you implying? And she was like, you know, it's very controversial. I'm just looking out for you. So you should put that away. And to me, it was just really frustrating to hear that the very people who should be supporting me and the very people who should have my back weren't doing that. So the rest of the day kind of just went down south, and it was just based off of one comment. And just kind of somebody showing their true colors, that's supposed to be like my superior and my supporter.
In my case, things that could always be better was more like fund of knowledge and efficiency, something that I still struggle a lot, even as a out of training. So, and they would say like, oh, like, you know, if you could, you know, maybe read more or do this, or maybe when you're talking, try and like feel more confident of what you're saying. And sure, there are some things that I can control of that, but right, as a human, to be able, you're also what your surroundings are. So I don't think it's realistic when you're giving feedback and like as a resident, you're tired, working long hours, you're getting to work expecting to have like X amount of patients, you're expected to know the information about them, go and examine them, go to your lectures and then present them, and then go to, you know, it's a lot that they're expecting. And sometimes that will contribute to not be at your best at certain rotations. So I feel like it should be more of like a holistic approach. Like, okay, like, how are you doing getting to work? Are you doing okay with where you're living? I mean, it's all those things will influence, instead of just like focusing like, okay, like, are you knowing about this disease process? Are you finishing your notes appropriately or signing them? I think the metrics are very skewed and very robotic, and humans and doctors are not robotics.
So talk to me about like burnout that you might've experienced in residency.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say burnout for me, a lot of times when we think about burnout, we think about, oh, you know, going to work every single day. And that within itself is very draining and can cause burnout. But also when you are around, you know, people who don't know how to approach you or know how to like kind of deal with you. And I'll just be vulnerable. You know, my program, we were, our class of residents was like the first big class that had six minorities in it. Like that was like novel, you know, at my program. And so from the nurses, the our attendings, you know, a lot of our, the people that we work with on a daily basis, they just weren't used to that. You know, they weren't used to seeing people who look like us, even patients, you know? And so with that being said, you know, it's like we're battling two different battles. While all, while the, you know, residents are always battling the battle of going to work every day, trying to maintain the hospital, trying to see as many patients as possible, we're also trying to deal with microaggressions. We're also trying to deal with implicit bias. We're also trying to deal with being, having to overprove yourself to not only your colleagues, but your patients.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they'll look at you and they won't even recognize that you're the physician in the room, and you have to overemphasize, I am Dr. Oso.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and so, you know, especially our women colleagues who are always mistaken as the nurse or the RN, and because of what they look like, you know, people aren't used to seeing people like that. So that compounded together with just the overall, you know, stress of residency, it makes it hard. You know, like I said, you know, anxiety about going to work, having to deal with people, having to deal with patients, having to fight these micro battles every single day, and not everyone gets it, you know. And that's why you know, I thank God for the my colleagues who, you know, were also minorities, because we had a platform that we could talk and discuss and vent, because holding that in, like, you're gonna explode. Like, you will shut down. It's literally impossible to keep going on a daily basis not being able to talk to people about the things that you go through on a daily basis, because, you know, we're all in it together.
Man, the support that that community that y'all were able to build, I'm sure played a huge part in you all being able to finish.
For sure.
A lot of our friends, family outside of medicine, they want to know, like, how they can help us and how they can support us. Like, what would you say to somebody who's asking you that question? Like, how can people who might be outside of medicine that want to support us, support us?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a friend in medicine, honestly, just have grace. You know, if they can't make it to that party, if they can't make it to the wedding, if they can't come to the bachelor party, like, just have grace and understand it's not because they don't want to. It's because they're probably physically exhausted. And on their few off days that they do have, they may just want to just rest. You know, and I would just say just have grace. That would be the biggest thing you can do for them.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So you were chief of your program.
Yeah.
It's a huge deal, right? I mean,
that's you just what talked about.
You were just talking about how your program didn't have a whole lot of minorities, didn't have a lot of black folks historically, right?
Yeah.
So being chief of the program, how often did you deal with residents who were burned out?
Man, on a daily basis. Our chief year was during a crazy time when we were dealing with a global pandemic. And it was trying to navigate through uncharted waters. You know, I'm having to be a chief resident in a new role, right? While also being a just a resident trying to finish residency, while also trying to maintain and harbor the feelings and thoughts and emotions of the 20 residents in our program, really 60 residents in our program because of the total first through third year. So, So, you know, everyone was burnt out. You know, I vividly remember the summer of 2020. Of course, 2020 was just a crazy year in general, but the summer specifically, man, residents were just dropping like flies. And it was up to us, the chiefs, to fill those holes. You know, everything was so strict when it came to, like, if you have a fever, you got to be out 5 days, 10 days, whatever the case may be. It's like, okay, but at the same time, the hospital doesn't care. They're like, no, we still need someone to show up to work. So I remember, you know, there was a shift where one of the residents had popped a fever on shift. And me being the chief, at 3 a.m., I get a call, hey, you need to come to work right now. And I'm like, you know, frazzled. Like, you know, like that meme with this scared straight where the kid's like, get out of bed, like crazy. That was me. And so I come to work and I'm faced with finishing a very difficult, busy shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like trying to wake up. And I remember I had a patient who was so sick. She had a blood clot in her lungs that was causing her to almost be in cardiac arrest. And I remember just like trying to save this woman's life, trying to give her life-saving medications. And I'm just like, inside, I'm already burnt out. And I'm trying to just like figure out how I can help this person. She's 30. She's like the same age as me. And so I just remember breaking down after that shift, like, because I had no more to give. My cup was empty, you know? And for residents everywhere, you know, they always expect so much for us. But if they don't pour back in our cup, and not just with pizza parties, then it's like, what can we give to these patients that you want us to take care of?
Exactly.
You know, it's very unfair, but, you know, that's the world we live in.
It's the world we live in, man. And now, crazy. I'm in neonatology, yeah. And like, you're an emergency medicine physician. So I think our professions uniquely experience a different side of medicine that some people don't see. And that's death. That's a lot of dying. That's like people who are coming to us in their worst moment,
yeah.
And families who are coming to us having to deal with like immeasurable pain,
yeah.
Right? So we almost feel this like secondary trauma,
yep.
Because of everything that is getting poured into us on the daily.
Right.
I had many experiences, you know, from starting fellowship where I definitely am on E.
Mm.
But yet I'm tasked with talking with this family and helping them make a decision that's literally life or death for their child. Talk to me about how can we process, right, this secondary trauma that we experience in addition with the system, the patients and these things that kind of contribute to burnout.
Yeah. It's tough, man. It's tough. Like, we're both in very similar places where we tend to meet people on the worst days of their lives.
Yeah.
You know, like, imagine you working a shift and everyone you see is having the worst day of their life. And you have to be able to compartmentalize.
Yes.
You know, in residency, I had a difficult time with that. I took so many things home, you know. Mm. You see someone who lost their teenage son to gun violence, you know, and you're just internalizing that. And so post-residency, I've had to learn to compartmentalize my feelings while still being empathetic.
Mm.
You know, being in the moment when you're dealing with a grieving family who just lost a loved one, whether it be old, young, whatever the case may be, or even a baby in your case, but still going home and being able to be a father, to be a husband without projecting that trauma that you've seen today onto your family, because they don't deserve that, you know? And so it's something that's why therapy is something that I think is necessary for almost every healthcare professional, because you have to be able to get this stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to either, if not official therapy, then friends who are also in the healthcare field to just listen to pour these things out so that you're not just holding on to all this trauma experienced by other people.
Wild. Yeah. You started talking a little bit already about solutions, like things that we can do to help us process these things. So now that you're an attending, now that you're in a position where you can kind of enact the change, people actually listen to you, things like that.
Yeah.
Give me some practical ways that we can help trainees specifically, you know, deal with burnout, work through burnout, you know?
I think talking to each other. I know a lot of different specialties have platforms. I know at least for emergency medicine, we have like a Black emergency medicine group me that we all just use to talk to each other and to vent and get things out. I think having a strong support system, especially, I always tell med students, you know, of course you think about location, geography and things like that when you think about a residency program, but honestly, going somewhere that you'll have support, you know, whether that's in a church, whether that's in family, whether that's in, you know, a good friend, whether that's in a spouse, just going somewhere where you'll have support, you know, don't get caught up in a name, you know,
definitely.
Like look at the whole situation, you know, sometimes the biggest names may have the most toxic cultures.
Absolutely.
Because of their name.
Yes.
And because they can. Because
they can. That's how we're
going to do something about it, you know?
That's how
I am X who I am. and I'm going to be like this, and you're going to deal with it, because you should just be happy to be at this program. So.
That's good, man. Well, I appreciate you talking with me.
I appreciate you having me, man. I love the initiative, man. You're doing a great job, bro. Man, I appreciate it, man.
We're doing this together, and I think it's important that we're just having these conversations, giving people spaces to speak.
For sure.
Because it's just not something that has been done before. It's not something that is promoted in the field. You know, we kind of have to like be quiet about it.
That's like taboo. Yeah, man, don't talk about your trauma.
It's wild.
Well, man.
But yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. And thank y'all for listening.
Yep. We need our flowers.
The Flowers for Algernon podcast is brought to you by your host, Dr. Theodore Uyi Uzamere, our lead writer, Moyo Abere, our amazing videographer and editor, Jeremy Ortiz, our musical director, Femi Oke, and our production manager, Tolu Oyebode. We don't have any sponsors yet, but if you're interested, please email us at flowers4pod@gmail.com. Also, follow us on all social media platforms at flowers4pod. And if you haven't heard it before, I'll be the one to say, you are appreciated for not only all you do, but for who you are. Thank you for tuning in.